Now we are live in the Acre studio with Ruth Adams and Jean-Marc Korsch. Is that?
Yep, Korsch.
Korsch, that's the correct pronunciation, from Art Omai in Ghent, have come over to Greene County today to talk about what's going on at Art Omai. What is going on these days at Art Omai?
Well,
lots of kids running around everywhere.
Yeah, lots of kids running around at the camp. Camp's got a couple more week and a half or so, I think, left.
Yeah, full disclosure, our daughter has been 2 weeks this year.
And I hope she loves it.
I think 2 weeks last year. Yeah, she does. Yeah, every year she looks forward to it, yes.
Yeah, the camp's great. Kids run around the sculpture park. They make crazy stuff, and they swim and are outside basically all day. It's nice. Our musicians are in residence. They got there about, I don't know, eight, nine days ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And how many musicians, or what sort of musicians are there?
What we do is we purposely choose a group of musicians who are who've applied, and we invite them, and they're geographically and stylistically as diverse as possible. So you can get somebody who's a very traditional folk tradition in their country, and somebody who, you know, rubs balloons with plastic, or, you know, it's like you get a really wide variety, and then they come together and they completely collaborate and improvise. So they give up authorship, they give up sometimes their instrument, sometimes they, people who've never sung sing, people who've never compose, and everybody just kind of
do they work on a theme, or they just sort of find their voice?
No, they really just collaborate. And it's kind of dicey for the first few days, where they're kind of like, whoa, what's the structure, what do we do? And then all of a sudden, magically, the third or fourth day, it just takes shape, and they just find a groove.
And are they doing? Did they do a performance once they?
They do. We did something in the cafe in the Field Sculpture Park last Sunday, which we've done at Helsinki before, where we just kind of bring them together and say, okay, let's put you. This time, what we did is we put names in a hat, picked three or four names, and they just improvised on the spot in groups of three or four. At Club Helsinki in the past, we've done a sort of more of a. There's a guy, nice guy named Carl Berger and his wife Ingrid Sertzko, who come up from the creative studios in Woodstock, and they do he has a way of conducting the group that some kind of secret signals that I've never learned, where he really gets them to improvise together in a way that just is really fun. So he did a little bit of that, and we did this time we did it at our cafe, just took a year off of Helsinki, but we'll be back. And it was fun. It was great. They kind of get to know each other. We get to know them. And then at the end of their residency, we get to watch them under a tent right there at the Visitor Center in the Field Sculpture Park, and get to see them do kind of share bits of what they've been working on together for the last 3 weeks.
So they're now.
They're here now.
And so is that event open to the public?
It's free and open to the public, and it is on Saturday, August. Oh my gosh, I didn't bring a card.
I know, I'm trying to.
I've got the website here. Do you want to scroll around to where it is?
It is on
the 8th.
August 8th.
August 8th. Yeah, at 5. Yep. Once they leave, the dancers come. And they really do kind of the same thing. Their program is based on the musicians' program. So they come and collaborate and improvise.
So they dance to the music that's created by them?
No. The dancers come after the musicians have left. And the dancers really, they do these workshops with each other every morning, where they kind of share. Each of them takes a turn leading a workshop. And they really, something never knew about dancers is they're very analytical. Like, they'll sit around and talk and analyze their whole thing, and they'll get very they do a lot of examination about how they move and why they move that way and what if they did this, and they kind of shake up their whole creative process. They're usually all dancer / choreographers. So they come together and they break up into little groups and do a lot of improv and collaboration, and we never say, hey, you should go over to the sculpture park and dance there. But every year they say, let's dance in the sculpture park. And the final event is them showing us pieces they've been working on, through the sculpture park, and we follow them. Like, it's incredible to see this audience of, you know, 120 people walking behind these dancers who are popping out of trees, and it's pretty spectacular.
I guess for a listener who's just tuned in and has never been to Art Oh My, what is it that brings these musicians or these dancers to the place? Is it you get a lot of urban artists that want to be in a rural setting, or what is the...
Yeah, I would say that's true. Our mandate is to be very international. So we've got 2/3 of all our residents flying from another country. I think that, you know, for a lot of those people, obviously being in New York is a draw. They'll spend some time in New York City before or after the residency. I think people, you know, residencies in general, I think, you know, are just this great opportunity for space and time. And part of Oh My is kind of one of our sort of, I think one of our best aspects too, is that we were very much into building community. So these dancers and musicians will collaborate while they're here, and then they'll continue to collaborate for years to come. Our artists program and our writers program, we have a lot of visitors come up from the city and from other areas. So we'll have curators, critics, publicists, agents come up and visit the residents and do a lot of kind of community building. And being in a rural setting where it's, you know, it's gorgeous, you're having dinner together, you spend the night, you go to studios after dinner, you have a drink, you know, the idea is that it breaks down kind of those barriers to access. So people can relax and get to know one another in a way that you couldn't if you just had a 15-minute studio in the city, boom, you're done. So it's kind of about community, and nature helps move that along, and about experimentation. I would say those are the big items for us.
And what about for visitors coming in? What is the big? Is it the sculpture park, or what do they come? Are they come for the performances?
The sculpture park is the thing that's open to the public every single day. It's open from dawn to dusk. It's free. You can just come in, park, and start walking. It's a great place to take a dog. Kids love it, of course. And it's a kind of different sculpture park than some, because it's there aren't paved paths. It's big open, sort of big open fields or trails through the woods, and it's very much self-led. So there's a map, but you can go in any direction you want, and it's kind of a place where you'll discover a lot of things along the way. You'll just kind of turn a corner and boom, there's something you didn't expect. So it's sort of about moving in and out of little intimate spaces, and then all of a sudden you're in a big open space with something really cool. But it's always kind of an adventure, I think.
And you guys have also been, I guess, in the news a bit in the past year with the, you mentioned big open spaces. What is the latest with the transmission lines cutting through Ghent?
Thankfully, the Knife's Egg is not going to run transmission lines right behind our pool and dormitory houses.
That was so, the plan originally.
We are very grateful to Protect Ghent, the organization that pulled together to make sure that, that didn't happen, and that was kind of a great experience too, because we really got to see the community pull together, and the hearings were kind of amazing, hearing people talk about their farms that were 150 years old that were going to be split by these lines, or, you know, people who built their properties, you know, it was all they had, and they built their house, and all of a sudden it's going to be worthless because of these lines coming through. So that's fantastic, and it seems that each community south of us who's been challenged, they're also having success.
Are they doing away with the lines completely? Are they doing a lesser version?
I think what's going to probably happen, I mean, I'm no expert, but basically NYSEG's looking for ways to kind of add extra support to the system, and there's an argument about whether or not that's really needed. So their whole thing is, you know, we're having more and more strange weather. We're having all these events where power's going down. If we add more lines, we'll have more backup. And you know, the argument is, well, what can we do to the existing lines to make them stronger? Is there a way we can, you know, put some things underground? Or I don't know. You know, I'm no expert. But I think the fundamental reasoning behind the engineering stuff is not necessarily black and white. So,
And I guess it would be a real... I mean, I can see why you would argue, especially in Ghent. Ghent seems like one of these special geographic areas, like Cornwallville or something, that's just like unique and very beautiful and just special. Driving in on what is it, County Road 22. When did you guys start the place? How did you find the property?
The way it started is that the founder, Francis Greenberger, was involved in another artist residency program called Triangle Arts Workshop that was started by Tony Caro. And at some point, Francis Greenberger had a house up in Ghent and was tied to the area in the summers. And he found a parcel of land with a barn on it. And he said, hey, let's move Triangle up here. And they said, yeah, we don't want to do that. So he said, okay, I'm going to start my own. And he and a bunch of artist friends and critics got together and invited 30 artists to come from around the world. This is in 1992, before the internet. So I'm always thinking, God, how do they even find these people? And they showed up. And we didn't have any houses. We just had a barn. And the school's family did a lot to renovate they built a big shed for studios. They renovated the dairy barn, turned it into, poured a concrete floor, kind of turned it into a place where you could actually be not among old manure piles, but nice floor. And people put the artists up in their houses and drove them every morning over to the barn to work. So talk about community. It was just, an incredible experience. And I've heard every now and then I'll run into somebody who housed an artist 24 years ago, and they'll tell me some great story about having this person at their breakfast table who only spoke Russian or whatever, great stories. But people worked in the barn. There were no walls. It was very much open, and they were really experimenting and doing crazy fun stuff. And here we are 24 years later.
Has it changed the focus over the years, or was it artists and writers and dancers?
No, it started with visual artists, and then we added the writers program and the music program and the dance program maybe 10, 11 years ago, and then the camp 10 or 11 years ago.
Sculpture came first.
Sculpture Garden was growing up informally along the way, and kind of got pretty serious, I would say, six, 8 years into things. And then we built the visitor center, which is we now have our offices there. There's a gallery. There's a great cafe on the weekends. 4,000 square foot visitor center. Classes for kids and adults different times in the winter. And that really changed everything, because the real audience kind of came and said, "Whoa, here's this gorgeous contemporary building. What is this place? What happens here?" And all of a sudden, we were more engaged with audience, and more programming came out of that. So things have really grown a lot since the building opened in 2008.
And what's on exit? What's in the gallery right now, or what's?
Oh, fabulous show called Crayon Miscellany. It's a group show, which we don't usually do in the gallery. It's a show curated by Julie Ryan. It's about I don't know how many artists exactly now, but wonderful artists like Donald Batchelor, who's got pieces. It's got a mural inside and also pieces on outside around the building. Mary Heilman, Ron Amstutz, Michael Zahn, just a fantastic group of artists. Jason Stopa. It's just, there's a wonderful piece by John Monti in the building, and then another one out in the field. So the idea is that, Pamela Fraser also has a piece inside and also out in the fields. Her piece actually roams. She comes every few weeks and moves it. So the idea is, you've got this gorgeous show in the gallery that, by the way, breaks all the rules, and I won't say more. You just have to come out and see all the rules are broken. And
everything's on the floor and the ceiling.
Yeah, it's nuts, crazy. And the idea is that you kind of start to connect with the art that's outside the building, takes you out into the park, and then it kind of connects, and you keep roaming through and go in from out, into out.
And I guess we should tell people, if they want more information, they can go to artomai.org. That's the website.
That's it.
And what other events or things coming up this summer?
Well, once we have the music concert, then the dancers will come, and they actually do four events, three of them at OMI and one at PS21. They start by sharing their work in two events at OMI, starting Friday the 14th, Saturday the 15th. And then they'll do something at PS21 that's really our dance alumni will come up and share works that are in progress, and they'll do a talk with the audience, do a real kind of exploratory dialogue, and then the dancers will do their final event. After the dancers leave, we have a little break. It's a little quieter, but the The final dance event is August 22nd. After that, we've got a few weeks before the writers come, and then we'll start with some writers' readings in, I believe, late September, early October. We have a wonderful event September 19th called Light Into Night. It's the second year we're doing it. It's a fundraiser, and the idea was, let's not have your normal fundraiser that feels kind of like a wedding. Let's just have a really great event that to share with the public the kind of things that we do here that are really fun, edgy art events, happenings, performance, sometimes audience participatory, sometimes not. But basically what we know how to do at OMI is have a really fun art event and a great party. So September 19th, that's what we're going to be doing.
Is that light theme or is it evening?
Yep.
Is it dark?
It starts at 5 and you know, goes into the dark. So we had a lot of things last year that related to light, and we will hope to be doing that again. So it's going to be, it's fun. It's a fun night.
And local artists are listening, they can apply for the residency program too. There's an international focus, but locals are allowed.
We really love to have locals apply, and our music program commits to one local every year, and we would love to do that for our other programs too. And all the deadlines are on the website. I think we just passed a writing deadline, and most of the deadlines will open up in the winter, like November, December.
All right. Anything else we left out, or anything else going on at RMI? Is there still time to get in kids to a camp, or is it all full now?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if you can get into the last week of camp. You could always...
It seemed like it was pretty full.
Yeah, I think it's pretty full. You could always contact Sasha Ciccarella, who runs the camp, education@artomi.org. She knows. But it's... If you missed it this year, you've got to come back. And classes start up in September again.
You have
for
other kids
on Saturdays.
Well, yeah. What are those kind of classes?
Those classes are really fun because they'll come and they'll spend the first hour of class out in the Field Sculpture Park, no matter what the weather is like. And then they come into the building and make stuff after they've gone out and looked at sculptures. And that's every Saturday from 10 to 12.
And that starts in September?
Yeah.
And again, you can go to artomi.org. For more information about anything that you heard here or anything about Art of Mind in general, I guess, right?
Yep, that'd be great.
All right, Ruth Adams and John Mark Korch?
Korch.
I'll get it on the way out. So we're grateful to have him.
Well, thank you guys for stopping by today on the WGXC Morning Show, and we'll see you out in Ghent.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
All right.